Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Conhelis et al. Titled, Diet and Sex Modify Exercise and Cardiac Adaptation in the Mouse. This article published online November 14, 2014. My guests today are Deputy Editor Mary Lindsay, Lead Author John Conhelis, and Expert Ganesh Halade. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. John's team showed differences in exercise capacity and cardiac hypertrophy response when mice were fed a soy versus a casein-based protein diet. For the soy group, females showed increased daily running distance and increased cardiac hypertrophy per kilometer run compared to the males fed the soy diet. When both sexes were fed casein, this difference was removed and both sexes ran about 2 kilometers more per day on the casein diet than the soy diet. John, tell me why you thought to do this study.
Well, our lab has a long history in understanding cardiac adaptation to a number of stimuli, particularly exercise and disease. And in both of these scenarios, we found there to be sex differences. So in a paper we published several years ago, we found that there was a prominent difference between males and females in their ability to run and the way their hearts adapted to the same exercise stimulus that's actually done in this paper. We also had some work going on at the same time by a cardiac fellow at the time, Brian Stauffer, who was looking at diet effects on cardiac disease development. And he found, again, that of course there's a sex difference there, which we had a long history studying as well, but also the diet had a major impact on the development of disease. So we thought to combine this into a study where we would look at both the sex dimorphisms in exercise ability as well as adaptation, and then added the different elements of diet to see if that also impacted this response.
Well, this is a good example of one experiment feeding on to the next, feeding on to the next. Ganesh, this is a very multifaceted article. What would you say is the main take-home message?
I agree, Mary. This is a complex study design. The key message is that the diet and sex interact to provide the overall response to exercise. The females fed a soy diet developed hypertrophy after exercise, while the casein-fed male mice traveled greater distances. This study highlights the importance of considering the both sex and diet when developing study designs in the cardiovascular, exercise, and nutrition fields.
Excellent point, Ganesh. This really gives us some guidance for future experimental designs. John, what about other protein sources? Why did you pick casein? Was it because milk is a primary protein in human diets?
That's a great question, Mary. The actual reason was that when you look at the soy-based diets that are out there, especially the ones that are most often used in the academic setting, these soy-based diets have quite a large amount of phytoestrogens in them. And the original thought going in was we wanted a diet that did not have a soy base, in other words, removing the phytoestrogens, thinking that these estrogenic compounds would have a confounding effect on exercise adaptation in the heart, considering that one of the prominent differences between males and females, of course, is the presence of estrogen. So we wanted to remove that component in the dietary environment so that we could sort of tease out the ability of not only the pure genetics of sexes to drive the phenotype and to get rid of that dietary component. So moving then into the thought process, well, the next most equivalent calorically diet available was a non-soy casein-based diet, and that's how we came up with that choice. And this actually piggybacked on our studies that were going on in the cardiac disease setting as well.
I see. When I first read your abstract, I was thinking that I should go out and buy some soy milk. But then after reading the article, I was thinking maybe regular milk might be okay too.
If you don't mind me interrupting, the study that came out then regarding the disease phenotype was that if you were feeding males the soy-based diet, that in fact that exacerbated the cardiac phenotype. And the conclusions from that paper are actually really tied back into some of the components of the soy diet, which when you look specifically at these specific types of phytoestrogens that are included in these diets, there's actually a long history of them having an adverse effect on cardiac adaptation.
I agree. I'm definitely watching this field from a personal perspective. Ganesh, this is an excellent example of recent NIH guidelines that have come out saying that using both sexes in studies is oftentimes necessary. What do you think?
That is exactly right, Mary. This is a great example of where they would have missed the exciting findings if they had limited their studies to only one sex.
I'm in absolute agreement.
Interesting. Ganesh, it's likely that metabolism is altered by these different diets. Can you tell us which metabolic variables would be good to measure?
Definitely, Mary. It would be good to know how glucose, insulin, leptin, and adiponectin concentrations may alter by both diet and exercise.
Thanks for that. Ganesh, these mice are 12 weeks of age, which is a little bit young if you're going to try to translate with humans. Do you think that these studies could carry over to an aging cohort?
This is a great point, Mary. Of course, these mice are just kind of young, or we can say it is a teen. That could affect the translation of this study. With aging, the capacity of both males and females to both respond to exercise as well as to metabolize soy and casein declines. As we know that with aging, the metabolic capacity is decreased. Therefore, studying the effect of sex and diet on aging cohort would be an ideal point to address in future study. I speculate we could see quite different results. John, what would you guess the effects would be in aging mice?
In our previous work in 2004, where we looked at this for the first time and we uncovered the difference between males and females and their ability to not only respond to the exercise stimulus, but also the amount of activity that they would carry on in this scenario, we actually found that in mice that were 12 months of age, there was still remained this sex dimorphism. Although mice ran less, the amount of difference and adaptation was pretty similar. So I think another point needs to be raised here, and that is that we're looking at a very, I think, specific type of adaptation, whereas in fact the exercise paradigm that we're using has a huge behavioral component that probably contributes to the phenotype as well, which we're not equipped to do those types of studies, but yet we think that's probably another area of study that can actually shed more light on the phenotypes that we're visualizing here.
So John, what are the future directions going from here?
In the work where we looked at the effect of diet on the disease phenotype, we did an experiment there which sort of validated the phytoestrogen story. In that experiment, we analyzed the soy-based diet for these phytoestrogens, and we took the two most prominent phytoestrogens in that diet, and we added those back into the casein-based diet. So now you've got a phytoestrogen casein-based diet to sort of tease out whether or not it's those phytoestrogens specifically. And what we found was that we actually recapitulated the disease phenotype that we saw on mice eating the soy-based diet. So I would think that, you know, a question which hasn't been raised, that what if you were to add those phytoestrogens back into the casein-based diet and then give that to the mice and see if you either recapitulate the soy-based diet or if you recapitulate the casein-based effect. So that to me is, I think, a good future direction. And what I can tell you is that, in fact, we did do that. And that's where things got very complicated, because what we found was when you look at the response in terms of activity, and then you look at the response in terms of adaptation, what you found was that each of those parameters was somewhere in between. So this sort of speaks to Ganesh's point, where when you look at the ability to metabolize some of the nutrient components, and then you add in, let's say, some type of adverse chemical compound like a phytoestrogen, you know, how that interacts becomes a very complex story. And then it probably does depend on some of these parameters. As you know, what we looked at in terms of our Western blot data, we actually focused on AMP kinase. It's a very important sort of nexus for energetic direction of the cell. And thereby, you start to incorporate, you know, the ability of adiponectin, leptin, these things to really impact these pathways, since those have direct connections with AMP kinase. So it becomes, I think, a much more complicated story. And then you add in the behavior effect. And I think, you know, I understand where, Mary, you had a difficulty understanding, because it does become a very complex interaction and response. So we did do that experiment, and we did find no clear answers and couldn't explain it. So in a way, I think it was a good experiment, but yet it didn't really give us the answer we thought we would have.
John, This manuscript is definitely a good example of merging fields to understand complex responses. What do you think?
I think have a final statement that, you know, I would have really liked to get a very specific direction out of this. And this usually is the case when you start doing sort of these complex studies, that it does open up a lot, many more questions. I do hope, though, that what we've contributed, at least to the field, are some very specific directions that certain scientists can take in exploring this. And you know, this may be a good example of a type of study that does bring in multiple disciplines, including some of the molecular cellular analysis that we're able to bring to this type of work, but also trying to bring in this component of environmental impact. And that, you know, you can even lead into, like I said earlier, some of the behavioral components, which are critical to driving some of these phenotypes, which I think we largely ignore. So, you know, adding a genomic, non-genomic environmental sort of environment to understanding how the heart adapts, I think becomes important on a number of levels. And hopefully people can pick some of that up and run with it in many different directions.
John, thanks for submitting this very interesting article to AJP Heart. Ganesh, thanks for discussing it with us. Back to you, Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.